this day, we're gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing.
Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart and filling every part of our praise.
Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, we're looking to the skies. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now. So Lord, unveil our eyes.
You're the reason we're here. Yes, you're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, the mighty river flowing from your heart and filling every part of our praise. Yes, open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, the mighty river flowing from your heart and filling every part of our praise.
And
show us your glory, Lord.
Come like the rain, come
yes.
Flood this place, flood this place.
Show us your glory.
Yes,
and show us your power.
Show us your power.
And show us your glory, Lord.
Yes, open up the heavens.
My soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength and my shield. You alone claim my spirit, Jesus. You're my friend and you're my brother.
You're my friend and you are my
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. As dirty panted for the waters, so my soul longed after thee. Desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength and my shield. You alone my spirit, Jesus. You are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You're my friend and you're my brother.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he's a king that is our friend, our elder brother? Praise the Lord. Well, we welcome everyone to Glory and Peace Family Church. We welcome you to this conference. May the Lord have his way with you and your family and touch you and your family. Let us pray. Let our hearts begin to yearn towards the King of Glory. And may the King of Glory be truly my King and your King. Father, we welcome you to this service tonight. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Most holy and righteous Father, we thank you for causing us to be your children. We bless your holy name. Lord, many are looking for answers, solutions, healing, deliverance, wholeness, and a restart in their life, and a refreshing time, and answers to their prayers. Lord, tonight, whatever their need is, touch your people. You are a God who answers prayer. You are a compassionate God and a loving God. You are a Father who do not withhold things from his children. Your word says that if your child need egg, you do not give snakes. So, Lord, we thank you that the best gift you have for your children, they will receive it. Touch everyone's heart, wherever they are. If they're backsliding, draw them back to you. Let the Holy Ghost begin to woo them back to you. If they are struggling, may their struggle be over tonight. If they are sick in their body, may they receive divine health, divine healing, total wholeness. Restore to them. Your word is tailored made for everything in our life. So as your word come tonight, let it come with power, grace, favor, mercy, and truth, and healing and deliverance and solutions and answers in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to read a scripture with us. tonight before the man of God brings us the word of God. Praise the Lord. I hope you've been blessed at home during this conference. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord. I think there are about 22 verses. But I'll read some of it and just give God praise. Read a little bit of it. Hallelujah. You can finish the whole psalm at your own time. Bless the Lord. If you're home, you can read with me. There's a scripture that you should add to the scriptures that you know very well and familiar with. This is the benefit of blessing the Lord. There's so many benefits. Can somebody begin to bless the Lord at home? When you bless the Lord, benefits are coming to you. People sometimes want to do something. They say, what's in it for me? God is a wise God, all wise God. He gives us instruction and he gives us benefit attached to those instructions. So we want the good benefits of the Lord. Amen? Psalm 103, let's start reading. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, your thoughts. That's where we do all the actions and the things we do. So it comes from there. Your compassion and everything else. You need your soul to bless the Lord. Begin to bless him. If you're thinking the wrong thoughts all the time, bless the Lord and your thought will be corrected. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? If you've been dealing with guilt and shame and fear, all those things are forgiven. Once you ask God to have mercy, forgive me, he has forgiven you. So say, bless the Lord. Tell your soul to bless the Lord and stop the blackmail of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? So all diseases are healed. Healable. So tonight, if you are sick in your body, begin to tell that thing to bless the Lord. Imagine, command that sickness to bless the Lord. It will leave you in the name of Jesus. Because sickness does not want to praise the Lord, but you are in charge of your body. So speak to your body and let it bless the Lord. Say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. You're the one speaking to your soul. Speak to your soul. Speak to your mind. Speak to your will. It's a decision to do this, and healing will come. Tonight, choose to receive the healing of the Lord, who healeth all thy diseases. So any diseases named from letter A to Z is healable. Somebody say, I receive my healing. Say, I bless the Lord. Can you bless the Lord? He said, when you bless the Lord, all your diseases will be healed. Praise the Lord. All iniquities, all patterns and propensity and a bending towards evil and to do what is wicked will leave your life in the name of Jesus. When a tree is growing, wherever the light is shining from, the tree begin to bend there. May your life begin to bend to the Son of the living God in the name of Jesus. Who redeemed thy life from destruction? Who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Hallelujah. You've been redeemed as we bless the Lord. Can you bless the Lord again? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. All destructions, you've been redeemed from all of them. The ones that happens in the daytime or in the night, even when you are sleeping, the ones you are not aware of, the ones they are plotting against you, every single one of them, you are redeemed, paid for, and delivered. Hallelujah. Who crowned thee with loving kindness? The crown of loving kindness is what you are wearing. Loving kindness. Somebody say, I'm crowned with loving kindness. Hallelujah. You are not crowned like Bishop preached yesterday. It says, when they saw him, they were saying masquerade. That means an ugly mask and idol worshiping kind of a thing. But whereas the loving kindness of God was upon him, his soul, his spirit made a decision to go for God, and that thing was removed. Any type of ugliness put on you, any type of thing that the enemy has placed on you, when people look at you, instead of seeing glory, they see ugliness, they see wickedness. Today, may those masquerades leave your life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You are crowned with loving kindness. Someone say, I'm crowned with loving kindness. So when people see me, they see me as a loving person. Hallelujah. Tender mercies. Okay, I'll finish with verse 5, so you need to finish the whole chapter at your own time. Who satisfied the mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle? Somebody say, my mouth is satisfied with good things. Good things. So you want good things in your life? The anointing for good things is in your mouth. Somebody put your hand on your lips and say, my mouth is anointed for good things. And as you begin to speak good things, the Spirit of God entering you through his word, you begin to pray and prophesy and declare good things over your life. And your mouth is satisfied with good things. So satisfaction for your life is going to come with the word of God inside you, coming out of your mouth and you declaring the things of God, and you will be satisfied. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, my youth is renewed like the eagles. You are not going from sickness to sickness, pain to pain, shame to shame, sorrow to sorrow. You are going from strength to strength, youthfulness, youthfulness. Hallelujah. As you're getting older, you begin to look younger. And people will begin to have a question mark about you. What's going on here? You are not aging. Well, you are aging in numbers, but your body does not have to deteriorate, because there's so much of the goodness of God and his loving kindness and your mouth being satisfied with his holy word, that those things are working from your inside out, that your body is now aligning with the glory of God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, my youth is renewed like the eagle. Can you bless the Lord one more time? Let every joint that is not working begin to work right now. Every eyesight that is blurry begin to see clearly. Let every headache leave. Let every torment leave your life. Let every sickness and disease leave. In the mighty name of Jesus, that the glory of God is upon you. In the glory, there is no sickness or disease. In the glory, there is no aches and pain. It is when you fall out of it that those things are there. So begin to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, and tonight God's going to touch you, touch your family, as the word of God comes straight at you with power, with grace and favor. Begin to see that penetration of the Holy Spirit taking over, moving all over you and turning everything around in your life. God bless you, Apostle. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thanks. God is good. Yes, all the time God is good. Welcome to the last day of the Arise and Be Healed Conference, Status Change. I believe that God is going to do for us tonight something extraordinary. He called us to this convocation, to this time, even though we are not together geographically in one place, spiritually we are in one place. For we are gathered together unto him. The word of God says that where two or three are gathered together in his name, because of him, he is there in their midst. The word of God says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. So we have a reason to jubilate and celebrate, glorifying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords forever. I want to thank God for every one of you tonight, for that portion that God has prepared for every one of us, that not one person today, by the end of this time, will be in the same place they've always been, but that God sovereignly, supernaturally, will take you and I from where we are to where we ought to be. That God will cause a shift, a supernatural shift from one dimension to the other. Because He is a good God and He has the best on His mind for you and I. So I've spent time deliberating before the Lord on what He will say to us. He kept on taking me back to a particular passage of Scripture found in the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. This is a chapter where God takes the prophet Ezekiel by His Spirit. For the Word of God says here, the hand of the Lord was upon me. I pray tonight that the hand of God, His good hand, will rest upon you and I. Because something happens when God's hand is upon us. The Bible says, as His hand was upon him, he was carried. He says, and carried me out. He carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. I remember many years ago, it was the year 1980, I was in the city of San Bernardino, California. I was in what they call the den or family room. I was on my knees and my face was on a leather ottoman. And as I was there, I was caught up by the Spirit of the living God. As I was caught up, I saw myself in a wilderness. I could see the tumbleweed blowing around me. And the Lord asked me a question, just like He did with Ezekiel in this passage of Scripture. He said to me, can there be life here? And I spoke in King James back to God, thou knowest. And He said, just say, let there be life. And I said those words out of my mouth, and immediately as I said those words, a city sprung around me. I was in a city. I did not know where that place was. Never been to this place before, but I could see it. I knew it was not California, not San Bernardino. Where was this place? A few months later, the Lord began to speak to me to come to Canada. It was not until years later, some 5 years or so later, that God sovereignly opened my eyes to see where it was. He had brought me from San Bernardino all the way to Winnipeg, and I could take you right now to the place where He brought me. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say to us today that God is able to change our story. My story began to change that particular day. I did not know it, but something was happening. The Bible says, God asked this man in verse 2. The Bible tells us, firstly, he says, it caused me to pass by them round about, to survey and to see what was there. He says, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. These were dry bones. But beyond just dry, they were very dry. When bones become that dry, they begin to shatter into little pieces. God was there with him and asked him this question. He said, "Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, thou knowest." You know. There are things that God knows that I don't know, that you don't know. But God never takes you to a place, never brings you to a place, brings you to an experience, a situation that he doesn't want to do something about. I don't know where you are, what your experiences are at this very moment, what the confusion is around you, what the trouble is around you, but I know that the God who brought you to this place can also take you out of this place. The God who brought you to this place can also turn this situation around. You may say, "My problem is beyond repair." Oh, so it was that Mary and Martha said, they said, "Our problem is beyond repair." If you only had been here just a day ago, or 2 days ago, or 3 days ago, or 4 days ago, or 5 days ago, if you were just here, this problem wouldn't have gotten this bad. But I want you to understand tonight that there is not a problem that you're going to face that is beyond fixable. It is not beyond fixable, not when God is involved. You say, they've pronounced me that I have stage 4 cancer and my life is done. After 4 is 5. It's called grace. Grace can come in and turn it all around. On the 4th day, God put the lights up. I want you to know that it doesn't matter how bad your situation is. There is a God who can turn it around. He's your healer. He's your deliverer. He can step into your situation and reverse every misfortune if you're willing to accept it. Bones were very dry. He said, God said to him, "Prophesy upon these bones." I want you to prophesy upon these bones. You see, in Amos 3:7, the word of God says to us that God will not do anything. God, the Lord God, will do nothing. 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 But he revealed his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Why? Because God changes circumstances by the prophetic declaration that is coming out of the mouth of his people. What are you declaring out of your mouth, child of God? What are you saying? Are you foolishly saying what you don't want? Because your eyes are based on the natural? Or are you being raised up by the revelatory words of God to declare the prophetic declarations of God that will turn your situation, your story around? We must re-educate ourselves. That's right. We must realign ourselves not to the ways of this world and to the dictates of this world, but to tap into the sovereign graces of the Most High, to begin to say the God thing. What is God saying? What is God showing? It is in the declaration of what God is declaring, being pronounced by me, being pronounced by you in the earth realm, that changes the story in this dimension. You know, in heaven, everything is perfect. You heard that right. There is no sickness in heaven. There is no disease in heaven. There is no poverty in heaven. And the word of God says to us that when we pray, we should pray, thy kingdom, your reign come, let it be on the earth as it is in heaven. The word of God says that you and I are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh my. The me, seated in heaven is not sick. The you seated in the heavens is not sick. It's perfect. It is whole. It is not struggling with confusion. And that will of God that has been performed in my life in the heavenlies needs to be manifested here in the earth. I don't know if you're hearing what I'm saying to you by the Spirit, but God has a perfect will, and that perfect will must be made manifest here in the earth. And how is it made manifest? It is made manifest because I am declaring by faith what God has shown to me in His Spirit, by His Spirit, through His Spirit, to be made manifest here. And I'm not saying one thing and saying another thing. Double-minded. A double-minded person, James tells us, should not expect to receive anything from God. God doesn't want you. God doesn't want me to be double-minded. Shifty in my walk. He wants me to be saying the same thing, saying what God is declaring. And God told his man here, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I must declare to my body, hear the word of the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That is me speaking to my body. I must declare upon my body, you cannot be sick. You are not permitted to be sick. Disease, ailments cannot abide in this body. It is a temple of the living God, and it's not open for rent. My body is not meant to be rented. It's not meant to be let out to the enemy. You know, if you were in Britain, you will see the statement like this, apartment for let. That's an apartment for rent. When God says, let not, he's saying, don't give rent, don't give room. And we today, by the authority of the word of the living God, are saying no more to the devil and his cohorts, to the spirit of confusion that wants to reside and abide. No, we abide in the presence of God. And this is the temple of the Most High God. And this temple of the living God must be clean. Therefore, every garbage inside this temple must be flushed out. We sweep it out. We sweep it out. We say no to the devil, and we say yes to the purposes of God. We say this body is filled with the glory of the Most High. Ezekiel had to prophesy. So he says, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I like that. Because what God just said here was what he's going to do at the end. But God completes it before he starts. He says, and I will lay sinews upon you. Is this going backwards? Look at this. Let's start again in verse 5. It says, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. God is saying it. But the prophet is going to say what God is saying. He says, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and ye shall live. That's the last thing he's going to do. But he's declaring it first. He said, I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. What did he just do? He laid in between and restated what he first stated. Today, God is stating, and he's doing the middle, and he's finishing it up with what he said he was going to do. I don't know how God does what God does, but I do know this, that God never starts without finishing what he's going to start. That's right. And the end result is that we will know that he is the Lord. Verse 7. He says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. What was the command? He heard what God was saying. And he prophesied as he was commanded. And watch this. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. God didn't say anything about the noise, but the noise is happening. And guess what? The man is, what is going on? There is a noise. And behold, a shaking. There's a shaking. Everything is quaking. Oh, what's going on? I didn't hear about this. I didn't know about this. And the bones came together. In the midst of all of the shaking, the noise, God was busy moving things. The church, the people of God, have been going through a shaking. But this shaking is not for naught. God is about to reveal himself to his church. And he's saying, arise. He's saying, be healed. He's saying, it is a time for your change of status. The bones began to come together, bone to his bone. Can you imagine the man of God in that valley full of dry bones? All of a sudden, Bones start flying all over the place. Zoom, 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 zoom. I can see Ezekiel ducking. Oh my. But in the shaking, those things, bones that were buried, were shaken loose. The clavicle was flying and finding its scapula. Different bones moving. The big bones, the small bones. Those bones have been chipped because of dryness, experiencing wholeness, and they were coming together. The God we serve is a God that is not limited by time. You cannot restrain him, shaking everything. When God begins to shake things, you know something is about to happen. There is about to be an outpouring. For the place where the disciples were was shaken. When Paul and Silas were in prison, the place shook. And God was about to invade an entire community and turn a city around. Don't tell me that the shaking that we are experiencing now is not for a reason. God is going to do in our day and in our time something that we never thought possible. Bones coming together. He says, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews, and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. So here they were, sinews coming on, muscles built on this creature. It must be weird. This guy is looking and seeing all of this happening. And all of a sudden, the flesh. But there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy. Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy unto the wind. This is a prophetic statement to the Holy Spirit. And I believe that God is calling us at this time to begin to prophesy unto the Holy Spirit. For we are not exactly where we ought to be. Just like those bones, very dry. We have become very dry. And one revival here, and one refreshing here, and one refreshing there. Things seem to be moving, but we've not come to our rightful place. But it's a new day. Let's not lose sight of that. It's a new day. God wants to do a new thing. He said, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. See, these dry bones once upon a time belonged to living people. Our churches, ones alive. There's not one church, not one denomination that is born of God that didn't start well. Every single one of them. There's not one. It doesn't matter where I go and I check the Methodist or the Catholic or the Presbyterian or the Lutheran. There's not one church, denomination, Baptist, Mennonite, that did not start out by the move of the Holy Spirit. Pentecostals started with the move of the Holy Spirit. Charismatics started with the move of the Holy Spirit. Word of faith started with the move of the Holy Spirit. But if we look into the mirror and see really where we are, and we humble ourselves before the Most High God and say, God, are we where we're supposed to be? If God were to speak back to us, we will hear Him saying, no, you're not. But I'm going to take you to where you ought to be. And during this Arise and Be Healed conference, I believe that God is going to do exactly that. That we are going to begin to see ourselves as we ought to be in God. And begin to prophesy that reality. Not what we are wallowing in now, but the integrity of what we are called to be. So the word of God says, so I prophesied as He commanded me, and the bread came unto them. And they lived. And they stood up upon their feet. That means they arose. All these miracles happened while they were all down there. By the prophetic word. But it took the action of the four winds to fill them so that they could rise. It is the Spirit of God that draws us. It is the prophetic word of God that energizes us. They stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Yes, God has an army. I remember it so well. When I was in the school of ministry, the first school of ministry, 79, singing a song, God's got an army marching through the land. Deliverance is your song, with healing in their hands, everlasting joy, and gladness in your hearts. And in this army, I've got a part. God's got an army. It's not an army that wrestles flesh and blood, but by the Spirit of God, arrests principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. We are the called of God. Called by God to enforce the Word of God. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, That God wants to do something extraordinary in our lives. In verse 16, it says, Paul is praying that God will grant us, grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That army of God, right there in the book of Ezekiel, received an infusion. It says in verse 16 that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Your inner man, my inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Why? Because we've been strengthened in our inner man. That ye being, watch this, ye being, present tense, continuous, rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. You and I must come to a full awareness of this very, very important fact. That we're loved of God and we're rooted and grounded in that love so that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. We are, present tense continuous, rooted and grounded in love. Why? So that we may be able to comprehend, assimilate with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. You see, we said before, God starts with what he wants to accomplish. We're rooted and grounded in love. Why? Because it is through this love that we come to experience something greater. Verse 19 says, to know the love of Christ, because we're rooted and grounded in that love, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. The Word of God tells us that in all of our getting, we should get understanding, get knowledge. But there is a place that God wants to take you and I to that passeth knowledge. Why? That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What does this mean? Being filled with all the fullness of God. That is a place of change. Change in our status. Not acting like mere men. Infused with the very essence of who God is. Wow. We might be filled with all the fullness of God. What qualifies us to do this? Is it because we are some amazing kind of people? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse that I need is 29, but I'm going to start it from verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. It's talking about the gospel. He says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We've got to believe. Word of God says, when we believe, nothing shall be impossible to us. Huh. But the word of God also says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. So, believing brings us to a place where God lives out his life through you and I. It goes on in verse 22. It says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. That's important. For in his crucifixion, he took on my sin, and he took on your sin. And he made a public show of the enemy. He says, this crucifixion of the Lord, he says, unto the Jews, was a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, it was foolishness. How can a dead man save? But that's all they saw. But what God saw was that in the dying, we too were dying. So that in his resurrection, we too can resurrect. That in his burial, we too were buried with him. In defeating the devil and taking the keys of death and the grave off of the devil, we too were also taking those keys. The authority of your future, of your life, cannot be any longer in the hands of the devil. The devil does not have control over your life. You are not called to defeat. You're called to the victory that God supernaturally has marked out for you and I. Verse 24 says, but unto them which are called, unto them that are called, whether they be Jews or Greeks, Christ, the anointed one, who is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God, watch this, the foolishness of God, which was in the crucifixion, and the world thought that was foolish. He says, but the foolishness of God is wiser than men. At the lowest level, if God were to dumb himself down to the dumbest level, he'll still be wiser than men. This is the God that wants to live inside of you and live inside of me. He says, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Verse 26 says, for you see your calling. See, God has called you. He says, but you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh. You're not the smartest folks around. Not many mighty. Not many noble are called. Why? But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Yeah. It's not because of our greatness or our nobility that God chooses us. We've actually qualified because just like him, the stone that was rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised had God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. What is God doing when we are counted as nobodies? God says, that's when you're just perfect. Because you're not going to be boasting and say, I did it. Listen. This extraordinary move of God in our lives is not going to depend on anything that we are bringing to the table. This status change or change of status is not based on anything that we're bringing to the table. Just as it was not the ability of those dry bones that made them an exceeding great army, so it is not going to be because of what you bring, but what God brings. Even our Lord says, through Paul here, he says that no flesh should glory in his presence. No flesh. The Lord says in John 5 and verse 19, says to us, our Lord Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son, meaning himself, can do nothing of himself. It's a remarkable statement. The Son can do nothing of himself. But what he seeth the Father do, for Ezekiel, it was what he saw the Father doing, saying. For us, it will be the same. We are not going to be able to do anything except what we see the Father doing. Because the hand of God is upon our lives. And he is a God who's carrying us. My prayer tonight is this, that the hand of God will rest upon every one of us. And that our eyes be open to behold what God is doing. The sons of Issachar were very aware of what the will of God was. And we're able to instruct the people of Israel on what that was. And the people of God experienced divine safety. Say, for what things soever he doeth, God does, these also doeth the Son likewise. We will mimic our Father. We will step in his steps and begin to do what he says we can do. In Philippians 4:13, Paul declares, I can do all things through Christ We strengthened me. We received the strength of God by becoming aware of the love of God. A God who does not desire for us to experience evil, but to experience his goodness. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because my God is my good shepherd. He is the good shepherd who's laid his life down for his flock. Hallelujah. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, Peter declares unto us that by the promises of God, says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. The exceeding great and precious promises that we have in God have come out of our covenant relationship with God and because we believe in God. Let me take it up from verse 2 of this passage and come up to verse 4 so that you see more clearly. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We must desire today that this grace of God be multiplied in our lives because we know God. For it is the people that know their God that do exploits. The church must come to know God. Paul says, that I may know him. That I may know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He says, according as his divine power had given unto us, his divine power that has come into our lives, this must be our awareness. How is this awareness accomplished? By us declaring and prophesying and declaring, let thy kingdom come, your will, your purpose that you have ordained before the foundations of the earth be manifest in me. Not because of anything that I've done. For you are the God who's chosen the weak, the ignoble, chosen the poor, chosen the hopeless and the helpless. And God, I qualify. And I say, oh God, God, here I am. I am here. Oh God, that has called me out of darkness into your marvelous light. Do something in my life. Use my life. According as his divine power had given unto us all things. Oh, Rabba Shakata. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things. You see, we don't believe it. That's why we want to live in sin. But grace multiplied is grace given to enable us to live the God kind of life. How is it that we want to believe that Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins? And we still want to believe that that death that came about, that brought about the price for our deliverance, was so that we can continue in sin. Oh, you'll be amazed how many people are preaching that foolishness. Jesus paid for the price of your sins, all of it. So now, you can sin all you want. And there are people sitting in our churches saying, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I can go fornicate now. But God gave unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness How? Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory. Called us to glory. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But when God called you and I, He restored us to glory. But the problem is this, that we have not understood that glory is all that God is. We've received a partial gospel. A gospel that just said to us, you are forgiven, but not a gospel that told us you are empowered to live the fullness of the God life. You can live victoriously. I remember many years ago when the Lord spoke to me. I can see myself right there now in the family room. I heard the Lord. He said, I'm still looking for somebody not to die. Somebody who's going to believe me not to die. I said, huh? What does that mean? What do you mean, believe somebody believe you not to die? Everybody dies. He says, how did death come? I said, through sin. Did I pay the price of sin? I said, yes. Well, did I not say I am the resurrection and the life, and if you believe in me, you shall not die? I said, yes. He said, I'm still looking for somebody to believe me not to die. I said, do you mean that we are still dying because nobody believes you? He said, yes. And I said, Lord, help thou my unbelief. I know I just heard you, but this is a hard saying. But God, through the knowledge of Him that had called us to glory and virtue, called us to glory and virtue, glory and virtue, whereby through that glory and through that virtue, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. What is the channel for this to happen? Our awareness of the glory of God upon our lives. So what does the devil want to do? Make sure that you do not see yourself with the eyes of the glory of God upon your life. See yourself just as a mere man. That's all the devil wants me to look at. You're just an ordinary person. You are a nobody. But God says, I have called you a nobody to become a somebody. I've called you to have my life. I live in you. I live through you. I live by you. I live for you. Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, by what? These promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Become partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, not love. Lust. Corruption comes through lust. What kind of lust? A lust for power so that, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. A lust for the anointing. So that, look at me, look at me. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the reality that causes us to come to a place where we recognize that if it weren't for God, this will not happen. This does not happen because I fasted for 50 days. This happened because of God's grace, God's mercy, His multiplied grace in my life that causes me to live in the natural rhythm of the miraculous that becomes natural to me. I'm a partaker of his divine nature. You are a partaker of his divine nature. God wants us to move into this realm, because in this realm, there is no fear. There is no timidity, no room for intimidation by man, demons, or whatever else. Because by the Spirit of God, we've come into a place of supernatural living. What is God saying to us tonight? He's saying to us, let me live through you. The Spirit of the living God is saying to us tonight, let me fill you to the overflow. If there's anything that I cry for, it's in recognizing this one thing. I'm not where I ought to be, but God is bringing me to where I ought to be. Paul says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press. Indeed, we are God's called, God's chosen generation that have been called forth to show his excellence. A woman of God, Sinach, sang these powerful words. All I require for life, God has given me. Therefore, I know who I am. Do we know who we are? Those words come out of the words of Peter. I'm a partaker of his divine nature. I must now begin to declare what God says I am. I must now begin to declare where he says I am. And where is that? Seated in heavenly places. And in me, in heaven, must be reflected, manifested in the me, in the earth. The me in heaven is sickness free, it is disease free, it is poverty free. Therefore, the me in the earth must be exactly that. The me in heaven is seated in Christ, hidden in the Father. The me in the earth must be the same. The me in the heavens is walking with great power, walking in miracles, demonstrating the reality of the goodness of God. The me in the earth must manifest what is in the heavens. May our eyes be open to see who we are. Recognize that we are in the bosom of the Father, cradled by His love, empowered by His glory, walking in holiness before Him. Therefore, we are the same here. The me in the heavens is not frustrated. The me in the earth must not be frustrated. The me in the heavens is full of power. The me in the earth must operate in the fullness of that same power. The me in the heavens is beautiful. The me in the earth must be beautiful. Today I declare in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that as we are in the heavens, so we be now in the earth. The glory of God infusing us, empowering us, establishing us in our going out and in our coming in. Every satanic agenda this day is accursed by the word of the rebuke from the very presence of the Most High God. Satan, you and your cohorts, loose your hold off of the children of the living God. We declare a manifestation from behind the veil. Everything that the Father has given unto us, be manifest now in the mighty name of Jesus. Appear, 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 appear in Jesus' mighty name. Manifest yourself. Sicknesses of the devil. And it has been manifest in the bodies of people. But God is a mighty healer. His healing power, Rataboshilakaya, is manifest now for your healing, for your deliverance, for your peace. For on Mount Zion, there is deliverance. I call you delivered. I call you set free. I call you blessed and highly favored of the Most High God. I declare in the mighty name of the Most High, El Elyon, that you are lifted up from that place that you've been buried in. Resurrection life flows in you. It moves in you. It flows through you. And this day, in the mighty name of the Most High God, you live in the earth as you live in heaven. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's people together in agreement shouted, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not done, but I'll stop here. I trust that as we have received the word of the Lord, that you today have stepped out of sickness and stepped into divine health. Your change has been put in place. And child of God, I have something here. Should have taken it with me earlier. The verdict is in. And the verdict says, you are free. Case closed. In Jesus' mighty name.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen and amen. Amen. Mama says, where two or three agree, she says, I agree. I know you agree too. So it is done. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, tonight we are going to show that we received the Word of God. We're going to express it with our thanksgiving. Tonight we are not going to be empty-handed. We're going to release an offering unto the Lord to express our deep gratitude unto Him for the manifold blessings He has bestowed. The information for you to give is right there. Some of you have been fervent in your giving, and I celebrate and I thank God for every one of you that have been faithful. And you know what? Those that have stayed faithful in their giving, keep on giving, and they keep on giving. But I do know that there's a whole lot of you that have not even made an attempt to honor God with your giving. Change that today. When I talk about giving, I'm not talking to those people who already give. They already know to give. And some of them already give even before the service started. But I want to encourage those of you that have your eyes on your circumstances and the state of the world to shift away from that right this very moment and act like sons and daughters of the Most High God. You know, when you are acting the God way, you are a giver. God gave His only begotten Son. He gave His very best. He gave to you the Holy Spirit. He gave to you the gifts of the Spirit. He gave to you life every day that you wake up. Wow, you need to give God an offering of praise, worship, and adoration. And every time you hear the Word of God, what God has to say about His plans and purposes for you, do it. Do it. I can only help you as much as I can. But the Word of God says it's only them that believe. If you believe the Word of God, step into it. I'm convinced that whatever issues we are facing as individuals, as people, as a church, it's never been God's issue or problem. We've not known how to connect. But the Word of God says to us today, call upon the Holy Spirit. Prophesy to the four winds to come, feel these slain. They have experienced some restoration, but was not complete. God is about to complete what He started. We are all changing. Honor God with your giving. In just a moment, Mama is going to come. And we're going to share in communion together. But before she comes, I want to announce to you that while this is the last day for this particular conference, and there's going to be a service tomorrow morning and tomorrow evening, that this next month, the month of July, we are going to have another
wonderful conference. This conference is going to be glorious. It is a conference that God called for. I believe it was in March when we had the spiritual warfare conference. God said, there is a second one. This one is going to be tremendous. We're going to be doing some things that we've not done. We're going to be hearing some things that we've not heard. Many questions are going to be answered. And before this conference starts, if you even have a question about something about spiritual warfare that you want to know, send us your question, because we're going to have a symposium. We're going to have a round table where those questions are going to be addressed and answered. So send us your questions and we'll get to as many of your questions as possible. Amen. And but anyhow, I'm going to put the poster on for that particular conference on right now, and the days to come we'll have the videos ready for that particular conference. But see the poster, the promo poster, and it will be on Facebook and whatever else, and do share it. If you've been blessed by the ministry of this conference this month, let us know how God touched you, what spoke to you, and how we can be of more assistance to you in your walk of faith. Let's have the poster, and Mama, please come.
The Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Well, what a powerful service. You heard the word of the Lord. Bones to bones, sinew to sinew, skin. I tell you, that word is fulfilled. Israel lives, and Israel shall never die.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
The word of the Lord will surely come to pass.
Hallelujah.
It shall come to pass. So if God can do that for a nation, he can do that for you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Total healing. Let us rise to the place where God has called us to. He has declared his glory on us. We just need to believe, and it shall come to pass.
Hallelujah.
Say, Lord, use my life.
Lord, use my life.
Lord, transform my life.
Lord, transform
my life. Lord, live in me.
Lord.
Lord, reign in me.
Reign in me.
Lord, move through my life.
Lord, move through my life.
Lord, use my life.
Lord, use my life.
If you believe this, take of the body and eat.
God raised up the very dry bones and changed their story. He said that that valley of dry bones represented the people of Israel. In a sense, we too are part of that family of Israel. We've been very dry, but this church of the Lord shall not be raptured a weak church.
Amen.
In fact, I am convinced that the devil will be praying a lot of prayers. please take these people out of here. We are empowered to succeed.
Amen.
And this especially because the very blood of the glorious God flows in us.
Hallelujah.
Do you know, I'm told from studies that blood mimics light.
Yes.
And today, as we take of this precious blood of Jesus, may we be filled with the light of God. For indeed we are the light of the world.
Amen.
We take off this cup and we receive total healing, total deliverance, total restoration, total peace, total joy, total freedom, total victory. Wealth, riches, prosperity. All that pertaineth unto life and godliness as partakers of his divine nature. Take of this cup and let it now be unto you, unto me, unto us, according to every word God has declared in his word.
Thank you, Lord.
For our wholeness.
Yes, Lord.
Take and drink.
While Apostle was speaking just now, and since the power of God touching someone, you have so much pressure on both sides of your head, from your temple to your neck, on both sides, pressure just pulling and throbbing, and I just sense a release. Be free from that pressure.
In Jesus'
name. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
A clarity. You know, I sense it's lifted, and if you're that person, we want to hear from you. And every other person who's sick right now, receive your healing. If God is touching one, he can touch everyone. Say, Jesus, do not pass me by.
Do not pass.
Touch me.
Jesus, touch
in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Somebody say, I receive my healing.
I receive my healing.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Did the poster, the promo for the next conference, was it shown? I missed it. Okay. All right. Well, bless you. We look forward to fellowshipping with you again tomorrow morning, and then the 20th of June, Sunday morning, and of course, tomorrow evening. And happy Father's Day in advance to those of you that are in our time zone, and happy Father's Day to you already that are watching out there in Africa and India, and those that are ahead of us.
Yes.
May the Father's grace rest upon you.
Amen.
And may you be the best father.
Amen.
God has called you to be.
Amen.
We honor every one of you, and we testify that God's glory is upon you.
Amen.
Be blessed and be highly favored of the
Amen.
Lord.
Happy Blessed Father Day.
Amen.
To you and to all fathers.
Amen.
Even the little boys, the fathers.
Yes.
Fatherhood is in their loins.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Tomorrow is the official one here, so praise the Lord.
Amen.
God bless you. Shalom.
Shalom. Now we'll chat with those on.